This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
We're here on Cody and Gold. We will get to an update on what's going on in New Orleans. Prisoner escape. Yeah, it's kind of right up this show's alley. Yesterday, we ran out of time. Give you the latest update. The escape over the weekend. An arrest has been made. Not from one of the inmates that escaped. They're down. I think there's six left that are still out on the run. But a individual has been arrested that they think might have helped one of the inmates or all the inmates. So we'll get to that in just a bit. Fascinating. You want to talk about being fascinated by a story. Anytime there's,
for sure.
Anytime there's a prison escape, I'm all in on keeping up with the details.
Did you watch the old Fox show Prison Break?
No, and people yesterday were texting in saying, hey, this sounds like season one of Prison Break.
I'll say the first couple seasons of that show were really solid.
Okay. Off to check it out.
I'm not going to pretend like it's just like hit after hit after that. But those first couple seasons are pretty good.
The last time we talked about a true prison escape on this show, it was the gentleman, I think in like, was it Alabama Tennessee? Or whatever?
Yeah,
and like the corrections officer or whatever, remember, intentionally like walked him right out into, and they switched cars and they were found. Fortunately, they got into like a car chase and then she died accidentally from a bullet. Remember that whole thing? There's a Netflix documentary about that. I can't remember the names involved in the whole thing.
But I can't either.
Anyway, we'll get an update on what's going on in New Orleans in just a bit. But I want to talk more about what could happen later on today, which is the NFL voting on reseeding the postseason. And based on reporting out there from Pro Football Talk, Roger Goodell wants this to happen. He wants it to happen because if you no longer guaranteed a home playoff game for division winners, then you would be worried about a wild card team finishing with a better record than you, as in 16, 17, 18, week 16, 17, 18, you would have potentially better matchups because teams would not rest starters. And the NFL, of course, wants that. It could create some better matchups even in the postseason. I know why the league might be interested. I think this is a terrible idea. I just fundamentally, and I'm against the idea that if you don't win your division, it doesn't give you a home game. I think it's crazy. And I understand there's outlier seasons like last year where a wild card team could have 14 wins and a division winner wins 10. You just deal with that, man. It happens. It's sports. But if the Chiefs or any team wins their division, not only are they getting an automatic playoff spot, why are we taking away a home game potentially? That's crazy. That is always one of the marquee things when you look at the season. Win your division. It's not just about making the playoffs. It is getting that home game in front of your fans. It's a big deal, especially for teams that have not been in the playoffs in years. So I can't stand this, but I'm worried it's going to pass because Goodell's behind it.
I guess my issue would be, then why am I playing the AFC West more? It doesn't matter, why am I playing these three teams more? You're telling me divisions don't matter anymore. You're telling me it just comes down to record. So if divisions don't matter anymore and it's just record, other than if you win your division and your record's still bad, you'll make the playoffs in general. But like, how often is it that you're the eighth best record in football in winning your division? So like, maybe, and in that case, okay, so it matters to win your division only in the rare case that I have the eighth best record, then it doesn't mean anything. It is meaningless. And I think the couple of things they're forgetting about losing out on, one thing I told you is I think it hurts rivalries.
Yeah.
But, like, they think it's going to help week 16, 17, and 18 because you're not going to be able to say, well, I got the division and I can't move off the 3-seed line, so I'm just going to stay where I am, whatever, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Someone can't catch me, whatever. They're forgetting about the fact that every single year you and I get hyped for some Sunday night football game, some 3 o'clock game that is for the division. The Sunday night football game last year, Vikings-Lions gold, we were all the way in on because it decided the division. If that was just deciding the difference between the 1 or the 2 seed, I mean, it's fine, but it doesn't have nearly as much juice as one of these teams is going to have home field throughout the playoffs, and the other one of these jerks is going to have to go play a road game against a division winner and have a much quicker, a much harder path, and that game had more weight. Way more weight in the final week of the season. I actually think it kind of takes it a little bit away. I don't love it.
I understand sports leagues change things all the time. And sometimes it ends up being a great thing. The pitch clock in baseball, people didn't like at first. It's been an unbelievable success. There are numerous things like playoff expansion in baseball. I actually think has been successful because more markets are involved. NFL playoff expansion, not as big of a fan of it, but it's here. It's not going away. This to me just fundamentally changes how the league has operated and how fans and organizations view success. I mean, we're spoiled now because the team has won Super Bowl after Super Bowl. But for a while, it was a massive deal when the Chiefs finally won an AFC West title again, let alone win two of them in a row, let alone win nine of them in a row. And yeah, it means that you guarantee yourself a playoff spot. But man, as someone even texted in, if you're a season ticket holder, one of the big perks is you get playoff ticket priority. And so when your team wins a division, you know you're getting to go to at least one playoff game if you want to. You know you're getting that one. And it's not going to happen every single year where a wild card team's going to finish better, but it's going to happen every couple years. In that year, that can change the entire trajectory of the postseason. It also, as someone pointed out earlier, scheduling-wise, if I win my division, the next year I have to play the other number one teams, other division winners. Yeah. But I might not get a home game in the playoffs the year before. So then a wild card team could win, let's call it 13 games, great year, and they just happen to be in a division. There happens to be another division,
it's
I should say.
It's last year's NFC North.
Yeah, it's NFC North. And the Vikings get a home game instead. Plus, the next year, as in this year now, they wouldn't have to play as tough a schedule as the division champ they replaced. That's crazy.
Well, last year in the NFC, not only would they get a home game because of a reseeding goal, they would have gotten multiple.
Mm-hmm.
They would have gotten home games until the NFC title game only if the team does this. In this hypothetical, you could not win your division and be the home team the entire playoffs. Come on.
Yeah, if everything aligned, you could. Yeah, I guess.
It's not even that hard. Yeah. Last year's NFC team, that could have happened with the Lions. Yeah. They could have, or the Vikings. Wait, who was the number one seed? The Vikings was the two.
Were the two. They lost the division to the
Vikings could have. They were the number two seeded team in the entire NFC. They could have,
Let's just get rid of divisions, though. I mean,
that's crazy. Yeah.
It really would be a point. If you were going to,
they could have had home field advantage over the Eagles.
If the NFL passes this, there's an argument that they should scrap the divisions, which would be a terrible thing, but like, you're not far away. At that point, we might as well just have it set up where everybody's seated 1 through 8 or whatever and just be done with it.
Last year, the Chargers would have gotten the thing is, like, for me, we're splitting hairs if it's one game. Winning your division to me is winning your division and finishing 10-7 is more impressive than going 11-6 and not winning it.
I agree.
I think that's part of where like the division is. And I told you, my plan's too complicated, admittedly. What I would do is just in the extreme circumstances, make a revision. As in last year, there were two 10-team division winners and the Vikings were 4 games better than them. In the case that I'm 4 games better than you, okay, maybe I get a home game. I would make an example for the extreme circumstances where it does seem patently kind of unfair that I went through all this trouble. I won 14 games and because I just happened to be playing in the best division in football, this year is not the year. But like on the AFC side, we're talking about making one switch. Other than that, the three best teams, the Chiefs, Bills, and the Ravens, all won their division. So why are we making an exception for the 1-11-6 Chargers team versus a 10-7 Texans team? More often than that, not gold. I'm going to guess that that's the case. And instead, we're making the Texans go on the road, but why? But why? You know, like for one game, it doesn't seem worth it to me. I'm kind of with you. I think that there's a way where you could please both sides, but having to go in there and explain it, again, I think my plan doesn't work because having to go in there and explain it to people's nuts. Like having to explain, like, well, no, it's only if
They're three wins better.
Yeah, it's like explaining NFL tiebreakers, but for the whole damn season. And it's not worth it at that
point. So we'll find out. I hope this doesn't pass, but if Roger Goodell is behind it, usually I feel like that means other owners are behind it, and they'll find the votes to make it happen.
It just screams, it's just something on the text line mentions, it kind of feels like they're trying to create a college football problem. Yeah. It feels like they're trying. I don't know if they think that it's better exactly for the exact reasons why they think it would be better in the long run, but it feels like it creates more issues and more problems than it does a solution to a seating issue.
One big question I have, right, based on this is, how you doing tiebreakers? All right, so let's say the first two teams are the first two teams, but records 3, 4, 5 all have 11 wins. Is the division the first tiebreaker? It obviously should be. It is more important. Mm-hmm. If I won my division, I'm presuming that's tiebreaker one. It should be, right? Maybe. Or is it? Or is it conference record?
This is why the divisions would almost need to go away.
Yeah.
Well, at that point, though, then what would it be?
You just kill natural rivals.
Because I think the thing with divisional record, though, is that it the tiebreaker fits where they go head-to-head, and then you go, I think it's conference or is it division after that, concurrently?
I think it's conference record after overall record, right? Conference or
something like that. Opponents. I don't know. Yeah. Now, I don't want to have to know these all every time just to do playoff seeding.
So I think the way that it goes now is probably, not that it's okay to get rid of divisions, but in terms of how the tiebreakers work currently, losing the divisions wouldn't necessarily destroy how tiebreakers are resolved, yeah. I guess, if you go off a head-to-head and then you go conference.
I hope
record.
They just table this thing and try to talk it out more, and we just push this one, or kick this one, I should say, down the road a little bit. We'll find out. If it passes today, I can promise you we'll be talking about it again tomorrow. Maybe there's some revision, maybe there is some more detailed stipulations, Cody, to make it seem a little bit more, equitable, but you don't need to mess with this. This is one thing that it's not really a problem.
It's not broke.
Every 5 to 10 years, there's weird occurrence where a team that wins their division wins 9 or 10, and there's some wild card team wins 13. We're like, oh my gosh, it's so crazy. Well, you know what that team can do? They can go to that team's house and kick their ass in the wild card weekend and go on. Like, that's just the way it works.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. And it brings up a lot of other questions that the text line is fairly doing. Like, are you doing this to eventually set up neutral site? Be like, you know what? Let's take all the guesswork out of
that
it.
That was my fear during COVID,
remember?
And
the NFC and AFC title games will be neutral site games to take all of the guesswork out of this.
Yeah, that was my concern. Not during COVID, but the name? Oh my gosh, why am I forgetting his name? DeMar Hamlin's situation where they because of the tiebreaker issues in one less game, and I was like, oh, I'm worried that now they're gonna realize they can play these games potentially on neutral sites in the future if we're going to make changes like this. So fortunately, that hasn't happened. Down in New Orleans, you guys probably are well aware of the story by now. It happened over the weekend where there were 10 inmates that escaped from a jail in New Orleans. On Friday morning is when they discovered them, but they basically escaped through a hole in this jail cell behind a toilet. A toilet was removed, and 10 inmates got out. They have caught multiple inmates already, but there are still, at last check, 6 on the run somewhere. Maybe still in New Orleans. I still find it hard to believe that they got that far from New Orleans at this point in time. But there was an arrest today. I guess they found out, they believe, that a maintenance worker helped these guys escape. So a gentleman, 33-year-old maintenance worker, was arrested today, charged with 10 counts of principal to simple escape malfeasance in office. He, quote, admitted to agents that one of the escapees advised him to turn the water off in the cell where the inmates escaped from. Instead of reporting the inmate, he turned the water off as directed, allowing the inmates to carry out their scheme. So the toilet, obviously water would have gone everywhere if there was still water running. Why this maintenance worker agreed to help them, they obviously don't know the answer to that yet. Who knows? They're continuing to investigate. But one of the inmates that got caught already was caught underneath a car. We mentioned that yesterday, in a parking garage right there on Bourbon Street. The other one went on Instagram Live to let people know, his buddies know, that he was out, which just, nobody ever thought there were smart criminals, but...
Instagram Live, that's the last place you'd find me. I'd have
you
this...
You quickly got to a phone...
You'd be Joseph Bronze. You wouldn't even have an Instagram.
Yeah, you quickly got to a phone and logged into your Instagram to go on Instagram Live. Crazy. How much longer do you think these guys are out?
Dude.
How much longer? There's 6 inmates still out there, escapees. I don't believe they're all like out of state or something. I just don't think that's realistic. We always think that these people get so far away. They just, in this situation, I doubt it. They're probably still hiding out in New Orleans somewhere. My guess is another one or two are going to get caught in the next 3 days. This time next week, maybe there's one or two left that haven't been caught. They got state, they got federal authorities involved. They're tracking
these
guys.
I think they're all caught within about 60 days.
None of them seem to be all that smart based on one of them hopping on Instagram Live. So I wonder if this time next week there's like one left that's not behind bars again. The hole they escaped out of looks, I still don't know how they got out of even that behind the toilet. You've seen the photo, right?
Yeah. It's
how did they fit through that?
I don't know, man.
Like, it's the Shawshank Redemption crap.
Everyone was, when you're determined to get out of jail.
They said they used blankets to go over the barbed wire outside, because otherwise you would have been all cut up, obviously. Yeah. So they used blankets. I mean, they had this thing planned out.
So they have, like, stands up there? Motion detector? Like, I guess part of this is,
I don't know.
With all the technology we have in this world, I'm surprised people can still escape from prison.
I think, based on what some of those in charge of the prison said in, like, some news story I watched yesterday, is that, much like a lot of prisons, I guess, they need plenty of renovation and modernizing, and it costs obviously a ton of money to do that, and these places are run down. And remember, this is a jail. This wasn't they had not been transferred to a more secure facility. This was a parish jail.
Is it wrong to be critical of their spelling error?
Who,
their
what?
Grammatical error? So they put two criminals? Easy LOL. They put two.
Yeah, I'm sure they were checking their grammar on the way out.
I mean, you could spell. If you're going to mock the cops on the way out, I think a quick...
Yeah, spoiler, the guy's in there...
spell check.
The guy's in there for murder, a few of them, by the way. I'm sure they aren't exactly the smartest people in the world, so...
I'm going to guess at least half of them were caught by the end of 2 weeks.
You're giving them 2 weeks. See, I think all but one or two were caught by this time next week.
Okay.
Do you think any of them get out for good, like they're gone?
No,
D.B. Cooper. I'm just like gone forever.
No.
These
guys
are the last escaped prisoner that just escaped forever. I guess
they're not just getting away with it. No, absolutely not. Even if it took 2 months, this was the conversation. We had this conversation about that inmate and the corrections facility officer, or whatever, a couple of years ago. The one I mentioned earlier from the Netflix doc, where we were having this convo, and I think, Drew, I don't know if you were our producer at the time, our old producer and Cody, you guys were convinced they were on a boat to Mexico or Cuba. I'm like, no. And they were a state up in Tennessee or whatever at some podunk motel.
But they did get away for like a month or two, didn't they?
No, it was like 3 weeks.
It was only a couple weeks.
Wasn't it? 3 or 4 weeks?
I mean, hell, she's a holic. Was out on the run for like a year, but he also...
It wasn't even a full year for him.
But also, we talked about this.
A full year for him.
And I think the...
He also had access to a lot of money.
Well, and the sheriff's deputy had pointed out, like, or whoever it was, like one of the people who like handles that kind of stuff, they pointed out to us.
The bondsman?
There's a priority thing. He, you know, like,
there's
a
priority thing. The marshal's office.
The marshal's. Like, some people, you know, like murderers out on the loose, they're going to put a lot of priority into finding people who had murdered people and then are out to go. So, like, I mean, you know, that part of it is certainly at least a little bit. No, I don't think that they're...
Someone says, go down the D.B. Cooper rabbit hole, please.
I can't. I mean, that's just like one of the all-time like people mention it.
Someone says to escape it all means they can't be dumb. Oh, I disagree. I disagree. Look, this isn't what's his name? This isn't like the movie The Fugitive, where you're like, what's his name? The character in The Fugitive that's super smart and
Kimball.
This isn't these guys are not.
I was trying to think of him saying it like he's
Kimball.
Kimball.
Let's not act like
Richard Kimball.
I firmly disagree. Just because they told a maintenance worker to shut off the water and they moved the toilet does not mean they're geniuses now. Sorry, no.
I mean, they were risking their whole escape by just asking the guy to shut the water off.
That's right.
Although there's rumors that he just said like they asked and he did it. They're probably trying to cash app him or send him cash or something. You know.
I mean, a couple have been there for murder. They have nothing to lose. Some of these guys are going to be behind bars for a very long time anyway.
So if you were I do think if I was in jail for life, I'd be constantly thinking about, is there a way to escape? If you're in for life, like, I mean, you gotta be,
again, they were at this was like a parish jail. This was not some high security prison they escaped out of. All right.
Yeah, that's true. Was it like Max?
No,
that would be impossible.
They were not transferred to like the state.
Not without help.
They were not transferred to a Louisiana state correctional facility. They were just at a local jail being held there. And now they're under those in charge are under fire because like, why were they held there that long? All that kind of stuff. You know, now everybody's covering their ass kind of thing.
That's a tough meeting Monday morning or whatever took place.
Yeah. Friday morning, the head count.
Everyone in this world's been in trouble with their boss. That's a tough
inmates
one.
Have escaped.
I'm not even sure, you know.
Someone says maybe they threaten the maintenance worker's life. Yeah, who knows, right? I mean, they may have known family members. Who knows? They're doing the investigation. But these guys will all get caught eventually. Yeah, see how long it takes.
Yeah, I remind you. Yeah, I'm in agreement. I don't think that there's. I think they'll all.
Drew's convinced that these guys are gone for good.
I think one of them.
It's always anytime they're like somewhat near a border, they're like probably just swam across the Gulf. Of, you know, probably swam across the Gulf and went straight to. I'm joking. I don't actually.
And if they did that, the cop they probably wouldn't even try to go get you. They'd just be like, "Good luck."
No, they'd extradite your ass back anyway. But yeah, they're not. These guys are. I still think in the same. I don't think they've even left Louisiana. So,
yeah,
no. Imagine there. Maybe somebody's gotten one state over. You better have. I mean, I just. I like to think I've got some close friends and some close family. I don't think a single one of them. I don't think I've got enough people in my life that wouldn't wrap me out.
Drew, if Cody texted you and said, "Hey, man,
wrap me out as
I just escaped.
Away.
I need your car."
Probably depends on my crime. You know?
Yeah, murder.
What if I told him I was innocent though? Oh, and he believed me. Sometimes people are innocent if things are accused.
For sure.
No. See, the way that it would have to work is I didn't know that you were in, for whatever reason, I didn't know that you were in jail. And you're like, "Hey, man, can I borrow your car? I need to use it for this." And I was like, I really need
You're clearly not close friends if you didn't know your buddy was in jail for murder or
especially
something.
Especially in this working environment. You definitely know if I went to jail.
Okay, here, yes.
Would you guys talk about it on the show?
No.
I think we probably would not be allowed to talk about you anymore is what would happen. They would probably say, you can't talk about your former co-host that's in prison.
Probably not. That wouldn't be a good idea.
Probably not in your best interest.
Yeah, I'm guessing they would say, let's just act like he doesn't exist anymore. Probably what would happen in that exact scenario.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Anyway, so we'll have an update tomorrow if anything new happens. Yeah.
These are always like the smallest things ever in the NFL, but I'm always just like immediately convinced that people are idiots. And like we talk about this in the NFL all the time. I just saw this headline and I think this is why it matters. It's rookie minicamp or mandatory minicamp. I don't know which minicamp it is, right? It's OT, whatever. It's some sort of workout for NFL.
Okay.
Tennessee Titans head coach Brian Callahan explaining why Cam Ward and Will Levis are splitting reps right now. Idiot. You're an idiot. There is no reason for them to ever split snaps at all. Just give all the snaps to Cam Ward, the person you selected, number one overall. They don't need to split reps or learn from each other. Cam Ward can take 100% of the reps in perpetuity forever. And I'm always convinced it's these coaches who are convinced, coming from college or something, like they got to earn the Buckeye sticker or something stupid. And it's got to be like this dumb, they got to earn their stripe stuff. Now, he earned it by being the number one overall pick. Just give him the snaps.
And
it drives
me
crazy. Every year, some team mishandles some quarterback in the dumbest conceivable way.
So I agree with you. By the time they get to training camp, there's no reason. I think the argument right this second, literally like 3 weeks after being drafted, is he doesn't know the damn offense yet. Let him have someone that knows the offense. Watch him do a rep. He follows him. I think this early, I don't have a problem with it. By the time they get to training camp, I'm totally with you. At that point, it should be 100% full go Cam Ward, and my guess is it will be. Right now, he's probably trying to learn the offense still, and as bad as Will Levis has been, it doesn't mean the guy doesn't know the damn offense. So I actually don't have as big of an issue with this right this second. Now, if we're talking in July, Cody, and they're still splitting, then I'll be where you're at.
I guess it's just like learn by doing. Like I sometimes this is not how I think most people operate. Is Cam Ward more likely to learn the offense by watching Will Levis throw a football or by throwing it himself? Even if it has to be corrected.
He still is throwing the ball himself. He's still getting half like he's getting time. No reps.
Half of the time. And I just think like I just the bad head coaches, and I don't know about Brian Callahan enough yet.
Well, he came over from Cincinnati, so you know that's all you need to know, right?
It's
Drew?
Just like this notion of like
the jury's still out on him because they were so bad last year.
This notion that like rookie quarterbacks have to like earn it to prove it. Like everyone in the Tennessee Titans.
I don't know which way. And that's the thing. I don't know. Yeah, if it is because he needs to earn it, I'm with you. My guess, complete guess, is that he's trying to learn the offense still, and it's very early. It's still May, and him splitting reps with the guy that ran the offense last year is not the worst idea for right this second. That's all. But if it's like an earning thing, then I'll agree with you.
I mean, especially to your point, Cody, I'm sure that Calvin Ridley and the guys would love to have all the reps, as many reps as they possibly could have with Cam Ward as the guy, if that's the plan. I understand that Will Levis knows the offense, but I want to get thrown the ball to by...
Does he? By the way, I watch Will Levis play football. Does he know the offense?
Yes, this goes back
just
to
real
like
quick.
The,
I'm not so sure he does.
Making, I think that's
I'm not even sure he knows where to throw the football. Are we sure he's the right person to ferry Cam Ward through?
So this goes back to like the difference of like we watch
this.
Quarterbacks play, and the bad ones were like, "Oh my God, he's so you know how smart you have to be to play that position." You know, like you can be complete dog bleep, And Will Levis was pretty close to that. And it, you still are a very smart individual to understand coverages. And you're like, well, he doesn't understand coverages. He threw interceptions. The point being is sometimes we act like these guys are just complete idiots if they're playing quarterback and they're not good. No, they just don't have maybe the talent to do it. And there's a lot of factors why they suck.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that Will Levis doesn't know the offense and isn't smart and all this kind of stuff. That's my only
thing. But he might not know the offense well, I'm sure, to your point.
I don't know.
He might know it slightly better than Cam Ward off the jump. But they also made a point from the 913. Said this coming from a guy who wants a Minecraft class to learn how to play. I was just trying to expedite the process.
Yeah.
You know, that's all.
Up next, we'll get
just
to
trying to bond with my kid, 913.
We'll get to what's trending, and you'll hear our conversation with the general manager of the Kansas City Royals, JJ Piccolo, told us why Gags is no longer in Double A, and maybe some good news on the timeline for Cole Reagans and Seth Lugo to come back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
From the IL.
What's trending?
What's trending is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. The Royals stay out west, taking on the Giants tonight. 8:45 first pitch. Right here on 96.5 The Fan, Vern's on Deck Show at 7:30. It'll be Michael Lorenzen on the bump going up against Hayden Birdsong, making his first start of the season. He's been very good out of the bullpen.
Great baseball
though.
Name.
Yeah, I think it's Hayden, right? Hayden? Hurston? Hayden? Birdsong. That guy.
Next up on What's Trending, Joe Thuney signed a 2-year extension with the Chicago Bears worth $17 million per year, $17.5 million per year. That'll make him $51 million over the next 3 years with $33.5 million guaranteed. Obviously, the Chiefs got a fourth-round pick next year for Joe Thuney. Not a bad contract, honestly, for Thuney and for the team. You think about the going rate for guards right now. No real sign Joe Tooney is going to drop off the planet. Chiefs has obviously made their decision to try to get Trey Smith back instead. But Joe Tooney getting an extension to remain with the Chicago Bears.
NBA postseason continues today. We got the conference finals beginning. This one out west. And then tomorrow, of course, will be the Pacers and Knicks. But tonight, it's the Thunder hosting the Minnesota Timberwolves. Thunder 7.5-point favorites.
Man,
also,
that's a big favorite.
Big spread, yeah. Big spread. And on the NHL side of things, also conference finals, you got the Florida Panthers taking on the Carolina Hurricanes in the Stanley Cup playoffs. That is what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Don't forget, today on a Tuesday, our lunch partner, our friends over at Summit Grill, they're our new Tuesday lunch partner on Cody and Gold, and the proud Taco Tuesday partner of the show. Head on over to any of their three locations for $2.50 tacos starting at 3 o'clock today. Again, at any of the three Summit Grill locations. Earlier today, J.J. Piccolo, Royals General Manager, Vice President of Baseball Ops, joined us. We talked all things big league, also what's going on with the minors, including the promotion of Jack Caglione. That's where we started the conversation and asked JJ, why now? Has anything changed? Why is now the right time to promote Jack Caglione?
Yeah, well, to be honest, like, nothing changed. He just continued to dominate Double-A baseball. You know, it was really good to see. He's, you know, we all know he hits the ball extremely hard, and that's his, you know, superpower. But we started to see some improvement in some of the decisions he was making on what pitches to hit and what pitches to lay off. And quite honestly, the level just wasn't good enough for him the way he was playing over an extended period of time. So we thought it was time for him to take the next step. You know, with AAA, the pitching's better. Pitchers can game plan, but more importantly, follow a game plan better than AA pitchers because they're older, smarter, more experience, and that's the right next step in his journey to the big leagues.
When you guys drafted him last summer, I mean, if I would have told you then, like, the ideal quote-unquote timeline even just to get to AAA, like, is this kind of best case scenario for him to get up to AAA this quickly?
Absolutely. I mean, it's, you know, over however many years I've done this, I don't know how many players that we've had to, in their first full season that go to AA and just really dominate the league and now are in AAA. Obviously, Brandon Finnegan back in 2014 was a different situation. He was a pitcher, and we brought him right to the big leagues pretty much after a stop in Double-A. But, you know, this is the first that I can recall, and just happy that he's doing what he's doing. I mean, a lot of credit goes to our scouting department in identifying Jack with the sixth pick last year and have a lot of confidence in moving forward and selecting him. And Jack has exceeded expectations. You know, we knew he was good. But until he gets out there and plays, you don't know how good he really is or how long it's going to take for him to get to AAA. But certainly he's on a fast track, clearly.
I know even in the front office, as you're getting a little bit of the comparison game, like our morning show host mentioned Adam Dunn. What, for you guys, who do you kind of envision Jack Caglione, who does he remind you of in the big league levels? Is there anybody that he kind of comps to?
Yeah, I mean, Adam Dunn, I can see because of the power, but Jack is going to be a more complete hitter than Adam. Adam struck out a lot. I mean, very good major league player. I think he's going to be able to control the zone better than that. You know, honestly, like what we hope he develops into, and I'm not saying this is who he is. This is what we would like to see is some version of a Pete Alonso. I mean, that's, you know, a left-handed version of Pete Alonso. Pete makes a lot of good plate decision or pitch decisions. He's got massive power. You know, he's turned himself into a pretty good defender at first base. I mean, and coincidentally, those two went to the same high school, you know, so it's kind of weird. You know, that would be excellent for us, you know, and really, you know, the thing we don't want Jack to do is to try to be anybody but himself. I know that the comp game, we do it in the scouting world all the time, and it's just part of it. But Jack needs to be himself. You know, whatever version that of Jack that it allows him to be the best major league player he can be, that's what we'd be happy with that.
Funny enough, we learned about Pete Alonso when we ripped some baseball cards of them. Are you a baseball card guy at all, JJ?
Growing up, very much so. Not as much here in the last 15, 20 years, but as a kid, I was at card shows pretty much, you know, every Saturday somewhere.
Do you still have a couple of things from your collection as a kid?
Oh yeah, no, I do. I got a ton of stuff.
Is there so, one? Is there like one or two cards COVID, that? Go ahead.
That COVID allowed me to go back and look through all those cards and kind of file them better, like a lot of people did during COVID.
Yeah, no, the card market boomed during COVID for sure. Is there a yeah. card or two that I guess you just right away you're like, all right, this whether it's the quote unquote best card or maybe it just has some real sentimental value or something.
Yeah, I've got a 64 top set postcard set that there's some Hall of Famers in there, so that set stands out. Mike Schmidt rookie card just because he was my hero growing up. So they're the two, and when you ask that question, come to mind right away.
Let's talk about the big league club. Let's start with Chris Bubich last night. We've already, at some point this year, talked to you about why you guys maybe felt comfortable trading Brady Singer and Chris Bubich being a part of that. But even to this point, he is a legitimate Cy Young candidate, JJ, based on the early performance this season. What has made him so dominant in your mind?
Well, first of all, he's commanding the ball exceptionally well. He's got above average stuff. He's got three pitches. And when you're commanding those three pitches, it's hard as a hitter to defend against that. And last night he had that backdoor breaking ball going that really just froze a lot of hitters. And he was landing it very, very consistently. And when pitchers can do those types of things, they got a chance to have great outings. But with Chris, he's always been a guy that prepares well, studies well, very intelligent guy. And, a lot of what we saw before he got injured and then what we saw last year out of the bullpen is what gave us the confidence that we could count on him to be in the rotation. Now, did we expect him to be pitching to a 1.74 or whatever it is right now? Probably not. But we expected him to pitch well, and we had a lot of confidence that he would. I think what he's doing right now, it's really, really exceptional. After the game last night, I think you have asked me this question before, is he have an innings limit on the year? Right now he's on pace to throw about 195 innings on the year. But the real reason why he's on that pace is he's been so efficient with his pitches, even in striking guys out, that he's getting deep into games. Usually guys that strike hitters out, the pitch counts get high. It's more of a 5-6 inning, but he's been so efficient with his pitches that he's getting into the seventh inning regularly. And we had a hard time after the game trying to come up with innings where he was really, really in heavy traffic. He got in some traffic last night, but he hasn't had a stressful inning the entire season. So he's just matured as a pitcher. Obviously we're really happy that he's done that. And, we look forward to him pitching every fifth day.
We're talking to J.J. Piccolo here on 96.5 The Fan. Obviously, in the last week, you guys did have to put Cole Reagans and Seth Lugo both on the IL. Do you have any indication at all on where the timeline could be for both? I know they're two completely separate injuries involving each player.
Yeah, we feel very confident that it's, very likely. Who knows what can happen, during these 15 days, but right. If we were betting on this, we would expect them to pitch in 2 weeks. They'll get their 15 days. With Cole, it was just a fatigue tightness issue. It wasn't a re-injury to his groin. And with Seth, he's got a little swelling in his finger that has already gone down. And we expect them to make their starts, I think it's the end of June or end of May, early June, when they can come off the IL. And we would be disappointed if they weren't able to make those starts. So luckily they're minor, and we felt like at this point, this is about the entire season. Let's not push through these things and potentially lose them for even more time.
Because of the off days, can you guys get away with a bullpen game? Is there somebody else in AAA you'd look to? I know you guys just brought in Rich Hill or Avila. I didn't know who you guys were thinking there.
Yeah, no, we'll see how tonight goes. But, we didn't use the bullpen much last night. Sunday we used four relievers, but it was very minimal pitches for each guy. So we're in a position to potentially go bullpen tomorrow. But if we're not able to do that, we'll have to decide who's going to come up. And we have a couple options for that. It's just a matter of, I still think regardless, it'll be a day where we use five, maybe six innings out of the bullpen, regardless of who comes up. So we will probably just take who we think is our best arm from Omaha.
Cody mentioned Rich Hill, so I wasn't planning on asking you about him, but he's 45 years old. Obviously, it's an unbelievable story. Last week, everybody, at least listener-wise, everybody's like, well, where did this come from? I'll just ask you, what's the story behind what you guys see there and potentially what could that mean?
Well, for one, we had some injuries, I'll say, in AAA where we didn't have the depth in our rotation in AAA that we feel good about. So So we were looking for a starting pitcher, and we have a special assistant named Dave Wallace. You might be familiar with him, but a long-time major league pitching coach with the Dodgers, Red Sox. Dave is a special assistant for us and has a lot of history with Rich Hill from Rich's Boston days, and he reached out to Dave Wallace and said, I've been throwing, and sent Dave some video, and Dave's very familiar with him. So we thought it was an opportunity. It's hard, you know, when you need arms, it's hard to get your hands on arms. You know, you look at other teams, they're not trading guys just because you need some pitching depth. So here was a guy that's got experience. Dave's very familiar with him. And Rich was willing to go to AAA. So he's in Arizona right now getting built up, and you know, not sure what the timeline is for him to get to Omaha, but it shouldn't be too long.
Are you ever impressed by like someone's competitiveness? Like at 45, he's certainly earned enough, JJ. He doesn't have to keep working at it. And he's like, you know what? I'll go to Omaha. I just want to pitch.
Yeah, no, that's pretty special. You know, he has no reason to continue to pitch with the career that he's had, but obviously there's a love for the game. He feels like he can still perform at a level that will help a major league team. The other thing that's great about that is, regardless of where it goes with Rich Hill, the time he's spending in Arizona right now, he's helping other players get better. You know, it's hard when you're 18 years old and you watch Rich Hill work. How can I get better? When you're watching a guy that's been it for 20 plus years, and then when he gets to Omaha, there's a wealth of knowledge there that Rich has that our guys will learn from it. So there's a lot of benefit to the organization when you have a guy with his experience in minor leagues with your younger guys.
Speaking of Royals general manager JJ Piccolo, I want to ask you about one more thing that happened in the game last night. Q gets tossed because of the, I think, correct complaint about blocking second base there from Dyron Blanco. But I've always said on the show that I'm pro like a little fight every once in a while, JJ. I think it brings people to their feet a little bit. As a general manager, are you pro getting in an argument every once in a while? A slight brawl here or there?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to say I want to fight. I mean, you want the competitiveness, and just the way Q came out of the dugout. I was joking after the game. I've never seen you run so fast to get out there. But players get frustrated with that. That play is a very difficult call for the umpires. Every time we have a play of that nature, there's one team that disagrees with what the call was. I think the umpires, by and large, would love to see that as a reviewable play. The managers want it to be a reviewable play, and hopefully that play becomes reviewable next year, because it is the one most consistent play that creates the most controversy over the last several years. But to see Q come out there, you know, if we're in a tight game, players get fired up about that, you know, so there is a residual effect. It's not intentional on Q's part. It's very natural. But I think guys like to see their manager fighting for them once in a while. And that play is very frustrating, and middle infielders can't stand it, and runners can't stand it. So the timing was appropriate.
That, of course, involved some base running, and one of the frustrations, I think, from some fans here, in addition to where the offense is at, is just, hey, some of the mistakes maybe on the base paths. What some of it is it just wrong spot, a little bit of bad luck? What are you seeing from the base running, where obviously when you've struggled to get some guys on base, and then there's been some free outs given up?
Yeah, no, that's frustrating. You know, fans have a right to be upset about that. We've made some poor decisions on the bases. We're trying to be aggressive, you know, because we're trying to score more runs. You know, regardless of what anybody tells you, when an offense is struggling, guys feel it. So now you're pressing to try to do more. And last night we ran into three outs last night. You know, that we gave them an innings worth of outs on a line drive double play, a pickoff, and you know, a first to third that really wasn't a first to third. That there was no way anybody was going to make a first to third on that play. So we gave him three outs. But I think that's a sign of an offense and honestly, like human beings pressing because they want to do more and they want to score more runs. We've always said if we're going to make mistakes on the bases, be aggressive. I'll put those plays in a semi-aggressive, but they're pretty easy reads in last night's case, and we got to be better than that. And those guys know that. It's just one of those feelings when you're coming off the field, you're like, what have I just done? You know, there's no question whether or not you should or shouldn't have gone in those cases last night. It's pretty cut and dried. But we got to be better than that, to be very candid. We got to be better.
Last one for you, JJ, before we let you go. We appreciate the time with the Royals general manager here on 96.5 The Fan. I know we're not even to Memorial Day. That's coming up on Monday. But when do real conversations, maybe they've already happened, about, you know, ways that you could improve this offense, whether those are internal or external options?
Well, internal, they're going on all the time. I mean, that is a constant. I don't think we go more than 6 hours without somebody making a suggestion, throwing something in the Slack channel, an idea or two, waiver claims, et cetera. But you know, when they become real discussions, I still think we're a little ways away. There's only a couple teams that are right now probably willing to talk about any of their players. If you're 5-6 games under 500, you know, even at this point, maybe 10 games. I mean, the Tigers, I think, inspired a lot of teams last year with what they did from August 1st on. I mean, they were kind of, you know, left, like they're gone, they're out of it, and next thing you know, they're in the playoffs. So I think, you know, teams want to hold their players longer in case you go on a run like the Twins just went on. So I think we're a little ways away from really having discussions that pick up. But I can promise you the internal discussions are never-ending.
JJ Bacol joining us here on Cody and Gold. Appreciate it, as always. We'll check in a couple weeks.
All right, guys. Thank you.
So that was JJ Piccolo earlier with us here on Cody and Gold. As you can tell, we talked about a wide variety of subjects. Simply said, when it comes to CAGs, that he was too good for Double A at this point in time, right? And it was time.
And had a schedule.
Had a schedule. This was best case scenario stuff from when they drafted him to already be heading to Triple A tonight. As far as the big league stuff, I thought a couple things were just notable. On the positive end, it sounds like as of right this second, they don't think Cole Reagans or Lugo will have to be out too much longer past the original just IL stint that they're on. Obviously there's a certain time frame there, 15 days, but it does, you know, doesn't seem like it's going to turn into a month, although things can change. And then, I mean, you heard it. If he's willing to publicly talk about the base running, and we all see it. It's just unacceptable at the big league level. You can be aggressive, but you just got to be way smarter. You can't, it's happening too often. It happened 3 times last time.
Aggressive is fine. They're giving just straight up free outs. Yeah. There's a huge difference between those two things. I also had some of the texts I asked while they were listening to this. They're like, hey, how fast is this compared to Bobby? Jack Caglione had played 38 games at the Double A level before getting moved up. Bobby Wood Jr. played 61, so about a 65%.
One's a high school player, one's a college player.
Very different, but not way different in age, about a year apart. Bobby was 21 at Double A at the time he was playing it. That's how long it took him to get to that level. So he was 21 at that time. And then at Triple A, he played 63 games before eventually becoming a full big league player, still at the age of 21. Look, your best prospects move fast. Your best prospects should move fast. The guys who are future or potential, doesn't mean he will be, but potential future superstars, Gold, should move fast through your system typically. Really good, solid players, whatever, they can take their normal time getting through the system under traditional ways. Juan Soto's get up when they're 19 or 20. Bobby Wood Jr.'s get up when they're 21. 22 is young for Triple A. He will be two and a half, three years younger than most Triple A players. He'll be 5 years younger than pretty much than a lot of them too. And so like, it's important. And like he said, this transition's good where it's like, they know how to game plan. More people are in Triple A longer. They're around longer. They got more scouting reports. Some of them are pros. Like Jonathan Bolin just got called up, but that guy's been in the major leagues. He knows how to handle his business.
Yeah, that's what they want to see. They want to see him against that kind of competition. And he's got a chance to you know, improve that way. We'll see how quickly he has success, if it ends up being a shorter Triple A stint or much longer. And there's a lot of factors that are clearly going to go into that as well. But he's on as quick of a timeline as you can realistically expect towards the big leagues, considering he was drafted, even as a college player, drafted last July out of Florida. And here we are on May 20th and he's already in Triple A. Like, anybody thinking they're dragging their feet? No, this is quick. This is
fast.
Still, this is still very, he's forced the issue to his credit to get him to Triple A.
Yeah. It's not, I don't even want, like, it's not to defend the organization. I'm just like, you've covered baseball long enough now. This is the earliest conceivable time I would have even considered that the Royals would have made this move. Go before the season. We did not think May 20th, he'd be in Triple A.
We did talk during spring that there's a chance that Memorial Day weekend, and
but
that's
that
only
was
a
still
week
like
off.
the earlier end of that timeline.
What I'm curious about for him later on, this is more of a, I don't know if it's something the club necessarily cares a ton about, but will be, you know, someone was asking about the rookie of the year stuff, is the thresholds, right? Like, to be eligible for rookie of the year, could he be eligible this year or next year as well? You cannot have, you know, thresholds above 130 at bats, 50 innings pitched, or 45 days on a major league roster. There's a bunch of different stipulations that where you could still be rookie of the year eligible this year and technically for next year, or next year is still a rookie year for you. So depending on when and if he gets called up, Cody, it'll have some sway on whether or not we're talking about him having the best odds to win rookie of the year next year,
or
if he just is called up late enough this year where he unfortunately just, it's a bad timing, like he'll never have a chance to really win it kind of thing.
No, but we'll get that debut patch. You know, we'll get a chance to go hunting in the box for that one.
That's right. All right, that's going to do it for us today. Hope you guys have a good rest of your Tuesday. The Drive with C-Dot and Rob up next here on 96.5 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.